Praise the Lord. I love that. I want that again. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord fulfill your great desires this year in Jesus' name. A different year. A marvelous year. A miracle receiving year in Jesus' name. God blessed Abraham, he will bless you. Amen. God became, Abraham became a friend to God. And he said, Abraham, my friend. And think about that. That's how you'll be close to God this year in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you and bless you because you are a mighty God, a great God, and yet a covenant keeping God. You've called us together so that you will be a blessing in every one of our lives, every one of our families. And Lord, I pray that blessing will be real and definite and practical and positive and progressing in every life this year in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, joy, happiness, goodness, and the mercy of the Lord will be for everyone, from the least of us to the oldest, in Jesus' name. We thank you because this morning you are going to penetrate every life with the riches of the blessings of heaven. Thank you, Lord, because we know it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Another one. God bless you. You can see now we're coming to Genesis chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations, plural. In verse 10 it says, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And when you think about Abraham, you really need to, you know, think through very well. God called Abraham at the age of 75. By the age of 75, those who have not been born again, by 75, you preach to them, you say, come out of your sin and come out of what you have been doing. They say, I'm 75. Even if you told me at 40, I might not even have answered you. But now at 75, forget about it. He became converted at the age of 75. And then he started walking with God, For the next 24 years, at the age of 99, the Lord said, Abraham, walk thou before me and be perfect. Many people, if they have become a Christian, born again, children of God, at the age of 75 and 24 years after, the Lord is calling them to a deeper relationship, a higher relationship, a richer the relationship, a closer relationship. They decline. They say, you know, I've been following the Lord, and you know, for all these 24 years, and I never heard about circumcision of heart. I never heard about sanctification. I never heard about follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. They say, no, it's too late for me now. They say, I cannot believe in new doctrine. What they are calling new doctrine is the circumcision of heart. What they are calling new doctrine is the sanctification of the heart. They say, I've been following the Lord evangelically. I've been born again, and I've been standing, even a friend of God now, sort of been sanctified this time. Too late, no new doctrine, not Abraham. When God called Abraham, he responded, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed God, and that's the faith that brought him out of darkness into the light, the faith that brought him out of sin into salvation, the faith that brought him out of idolatry and brought him to the only living almighty God. And then, you know, he got sanctified. He got circumcised. So how do you know that he was sanctified? In a later chapter, chapter 22, God said, Abraham, he said, here am I. And God said, take that son, your only son, whom you love dearly. Remember, Ishmael is gone out of the family. Only Isaac remained. And he said, take him and go sacrifice him to me on the mount that I will show you. If a man is not sanctified, tell me. If the Adamic nature is not taken away, tell me. If the heart has not been circumcised, tell me. Would you? Early the following morning, he took that child and he went straight to the mountain that God had showed him. And he showed no remorse. He showed no kind of regret that was following the Lord. He showed nothing of anxiety. And when he got to that mountain, he had told the disciples, you stay here, I and this lad will go there. And we'll come back to that level of faith that Abraham had. And he wanted to actually sacrifice the child. And then the Lord spoke from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, lay not your hand upon that child. He didn't say, why didn't you tell me before you put me in anxiety and you put me in suspense? No, a sanctified man, a person whose heart is circumcised, does not talk foolishly unto God. And so he saw the lamp, and then he sacrificed that. The man is the one we're considering today. We're considering the covenant that God made with Abraham. And we're learning a lot of lessons from that. Number one, before we can have any covenant with the Lord, you must be born again. You must have repented from your sin and you come to the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a child of God, you are born again, and you are walking with God, and you are walking by faith. As we're talking about having covenant with God, it's a covenant that makes us walk with God. It's a covenant that makes us live for God. It's a covenant that makes us walk side by side with God, because two cannot walk together except they be agreed. We're looking at the covenant keeping beneficiaries in the great covenant keeper. God is the great covenant keeper, and we are the covenant keeping beneficiaries. We're told in that verse 10, it says, this is my covenant which ye shall keep, which ye shall keep. Is a two-way thing. God keeps the covenant, and the man that follows God, that has this covenant with God, he keeps the covenant which he shall keep. And then he said, between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. I hope you understand that this is looking forward to the circumcision of the heart, because he said, the Lord shall circumcise your heart and the heart of thy seed, that you may love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and that you will live the life that he wants you to live. It's the physical covenant, it's the physical circumcision that they did for themselves in lieu of the fact that God was going to circumcise their heart. In Exodus chapter 19, I'm reading from verse 5. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. You see, some people may feel that covenant with God is only on God's side. He makes the covenant, he keeps the covenant, and then we just lie down there passive, doing nothing. No, we keep the covenant. The beneficiaries of the covenant they are covenant keeping beneficiaries in the great covenant keeper. So he says in that verse 5, now therefore at this very time if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. If you keep the covenant, then you become a peculiar treasure unto God above all people, for all the earth is mine. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Once again, the covenant keeping beneficiaries in the great covenant keeper. Three things we're looking at. Number one is our covenant keeping benefactor at all times. That's God at all times, in that generation, at this time in our generation, and in the coming generations until the world will last. Our covenant keeping benefactor at all times. Look at number two. Number two is the covenant keeping beneficiaries in all things. Our benefit is not just for January. Our benefit is not just for this year. Our benefit is for all time, in all things. Our benefit is not only for the body, it's also for the spirit and the soul. Our benefit is not just for the person, it's for the whole family. Our benefit is not just for our family, it's for ministry too. Everything we do for the Lord, everything is, comprising that. The covenant keeping beneficiaries in all things. Number three, the covenant keeping believers in his thoughts. In his thoughts, we are in his thoughts all the time. He's thinking of us, and because he's thinking of us, he's planning for us. Because he's planning for us, he's helping us and guiding us every way and every step, so that we will be everything he wants us to be. The covenant keeping believers in his thoughts. Look at number one. Number one is our covenant keeping benefactor at all times. Please always remember that in the day, in the night, in the week, in the month, throughout the year. Remember that he is the covenant keeping benefactor at all times. Whatever happens, whatever comes, whatever may not come, whatever it is, at all times, he is the covenant keeping benefactor. We're looking at Psalm 105, and we're reading from verse 8. Psalm 105, verse 8, he has remembered his covenant forever. He remembers the covenant forever. If he stopped at the time of Abraham, that will not be forever. If he stopped at the end of Malachi, that will not be forever. If he stopped at the end of Revelation, it will not be forever. But until this very day, he remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. We're looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 15. It says, be ye mindful always of his covenant. Be ye mindful always of his covenant. He remembers every time. He is mindful of his covenant every time. He looks at the provision of his covenant every time. He looks at the promise of his covenant every time. He looks at the prophetic pronouncement of his covenant every time. And if you have that covenant with the Lord because you are born again and the covenant is now through Jesus Christ, you too should be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Look at three things. So number one, we're looking at our faith, our faithful covenant keeping, always faithful, always faithful, our faithful covenant keeping God. Number two is the faultless covenant keeper's glory. The faultless covenant keeper's glory. If he failed anytime with you, with me, or with anyone, that will not show his glory. No, he will not fail in your life. He will not fail in your family, because he is the faultless covenant keeper. And because of that, he has glory. Look at number three. Number three is the full covenant kindness and grace. In number one, he tells us about the faithful covenant keeping God. And he tells us in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18, always faithful. Remember that when you stand on his promise today, that promise will be fulfilled. When you claim any provision that he has provided, that provision will be yours today in Jesus' name. That by two immutable things, unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. You need an amen there. Amen. Impossible for God to lie. If he said he will do anything, that thing may look impossible to man, but he said it, it will be done. I said it will be done, because it was impossible for him, for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Your life will not be hopeless. I said your life will not be hopeless, because there is hope in God. And because of the fact that it's impossible for him to lie, we flee into that refuge. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 24. It says, faithful is he that calleth you. Has he called you to repentance? And thank God, you have responded. As he called you to salvation, praise the Lord, you have responded. Everyone that he has called to repentance, and say, yes, Lord, I repent, I turn away from my sin. He calls you to salvation. You say, yes, Lord, I want salvation through Christ. And you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are saved. He has called you, you have responded, and faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Write it down. Whatever you want him to do, because now you're in covenant relationship with the Lord. Christ Jesus has reconciled you unto the Lord. And he says, whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I'm faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you. He will do it. We're looking at number two. Number two is the faultless covenant keeper's glory. We're looking at Exodus chapter 15 and reading here from verse 11. Exodus 15 verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing where? Where is he doing wonders? In your life, in your family. And this year, wonders upon wonders in Jesus' name. Doing wonders, and he is glorious. We're told in Hebrews, Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Selah. That means, think about that. His glory, his glory, his glory covered the heavens and the earth. And once you are here on earth, the glory that covers heaven, every one of those angels in heaven, they behold the glory of God. And here on earth was full of his praise. There will be the praise of God in your life. even today. Praise of God in your life in Jesus' name. Look at number three. Number three is the full covenant kindness and grace. The full thing. It brings the full thing to you, and your life will not diminish in any way in Jesus' name. Where there are tears, they'll wipe all the tears away. And where there's any kind of conflict, you know, conflict here and conflict there, conflict goes away from your life today in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come, from that time that he made the covenant, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness, kindness upon your life toward us through Christ Jesus. Then he tells us in verse 8, he says, for by grace are ye saved. Say, by grace I am saved. You know, some people, they're coming to a Bible-believing church. A Bible-believing church means that it's a church that talks about its promises, the promises in the Bible. And we believe that it's a church that talks about all the pronouncements of Christ. And we believe that when we say a Bible-believing church, it's not just that the yes, the commandments are there, but the promises are there, the prophecies are there, the precepts are there. And when we say Bible-believing church, that means we believe everything God has said will happen, will happen. Do you believe that? In your life, do you believe that? In your family, do you believe that? The Lord will perform everything in his word. You believe in Jesus' name. You know, some people say, how come? You know, myself and Brother C, Brother Christian, he is in the same church with me. And I see that Brother Christian has more blessings than I have. But they say God is not partial. Yes, you know, Brother C has everything he believes. If I don't believe the same thing, all the promises and the provision that Brother Christian believes, I may not receive, because everything I believe will happen. This year, everything you believe in the Bible will happen. All the promises of God, all the provisions of God. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Some people say, that person has faith, but I don't think I have faith. Why not? A faith is not something that that fellow went to the farm and dug up. A faith is not something he went and ran to the shore of the sea and then got it. It's all by gift. And I pronounce upon your life the gift of faith. Come upon your life right now in Jesus' name. And by that gift of faith, it says, we're saved. Look at that. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Because this is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. I have it. The faith that receives, I have it. And the faith that has something I've been praying for and I didn't get the previous year, I have it this year. Say it well now. In Titus chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to, tell me, all men. Has appeared unto all men. But you know, you must, when it appears to you, you must welcome that. You must not say, I'm too bad for that. I'm too poor for that. I'm too ignorant for that. How can that grace come to me? It has come to all men. And when you receive that, that has come to you, your life will turn around. Then in verse 12, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. You know, some people feel this godliness and righteousness, they say it will take them a long time. You know what they're thinking of? They're fighting for it. They're struggling for it. And they're fasting and praying for it. No. He said, just open up and let the grace of God come into your life. And when that grace of God comes into your life, it's the grace of God in your life that will teach you how to deny ungodliness. Don't have to go to the greatest Christian library in the world and you're searching. I say, what book are you looking for? I'm looking for, you know, a kind of book that will show me how I will overcome all unrighteousness and guilt and ungodliness. I say, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. How are you saved? By the grace of God. That same grace will be operating in your life in Jesus' name. And that grace will teach you. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly by the grace of God, righteously by the grace of God, godly by the grace of God in this present world. Say amen.
Amen.
Where did Enoch live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world? Where did Abraham live righteously, godly, and righteously in this present world? Look at Joseph. Where did Joseph live a life of sobriety, a life of righteousness, a life of godliness in this present world? Where did Daniel live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world? The same grace that God gave them, you have. I have. And it is that grace that makes them live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. I'm so happy you are still alive this year. Because this year, the grace of God will be magnified in your life. And the grace of God will manifest in such a way that people will see that in this present world, you are able. I am able. I am able to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. In verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 14, who gave himself for us. Who gave himself for us. Now you understand, if he gave water to us, then he gave water to every individual. If he gave air, I will say God has given us air to breathe. That means he has given every individual. Us does not mean nobody. It means everybody, one by one. He has given you. I said he has given you. And that he has given you, he will fulfill in Jesus' name. Once you say, it's mine, he gave me the faith. Once you say, it's mine, he gave me the grace. Once you say, it's mine, he gave me the gift. Who gave himself for us and everything he is a healer. He gave himself to me as a healer. He is sanctifier. He gave himself to me as sanctifier. He is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He gave himself to me, to you, as the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He is deliverer. He gave himself to you as the deliverer. Who gave himself is not an empty self. It's a redeeming himself. Is a healing himself. Is a delivering himself that has dominion and is the powerful, mighty himself. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from. Tell me out aloud. If you know this is for you, say it aloud. He redeemed us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people. A peculiar people. You know, the problem is God is trying to make you peculiar because of the sacrifice of Christ. In your office, peculiar. In your home, peculiar. In your village, peculiar. On the road, peculiar. In your dressing, peculiar. And you know, somebody sees you and he says, you look peculiar, and then you feel ashamed. You say, praise the Lord. And even though you notice that actually God himself redeemed me and purged me and purified me to be peculiar. They call you in your family and they say, oh, son, daughter, my sister, you look peculiar. Yes, praise the Lord. The whole of the family is not like that, but you are different and you are peculiar. That's not an insult. That's not an abuse. That's not nickname. That's not anything bad. They are saying, they observe what Christ has done in you. And when they observe, you're not saying, no, I'm not like that. Yes, you are. You're different in Jesus' name. When you stand up and preach in the public, you're preaching in the bus, you're preaching in the marketplace, and somebody says, yes, we know Christians, you're a Christian, and he's a Christian, she's a Christian, but you are peculiar. Any peculiar Christian in the house today? The Lord stamp it upon your life in Jesus' name. Because he says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We're coming to point number two. In point number two, we're looking at the covenant keeping beneficiaries in all things. You will benefit from the covenant in all things. If there's still any area of your life, you know, you people think, okay, I benefit in the salvation and praise the Lord. The things I used to do, I do them no more. But the only problem is my academic life. Bring Christ to your academic life, and your academic life will become peculiar. It's only, you know, I take this exam so many times, and I couldn't make it. Well, bring Christ into that exam this year. They will write to you that this time you passed. Not just passed, but you come out in flying colors in Jesus' name. The covenant must be brought into every area of our lives. You know, some people say, I eat, and you know, I become, the more I eat, the more I become lean, and I want to put on flesh. And then you're taking this and taking this and taking that. Why don't you bring Christ into that area? And this year, you'll have flesh over your bone. Everything in your life, in all things, you bring the covenant into that. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I'm reading from verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. You see that the condition is there. You keep his covenant and you keep his commandment. And he says to 1,000 generations, what means to that generation, to this generation, on and on. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it tells us, it says, wherefore it shall come to pass. That's this year, it will come to pass. if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them. You see that you have your part to play. You keep and you do them. When you are at home, you keep and you do them. When you're in the marketplace, when there's no other Christian there, but you are the only lampstand, or you are the only light shining there, you do them, you keep them. When you're on the way, when you're on the road, you're in a bus or in a vehicle, and there's no other Christian nearby, but you keep and you do them, you know that you are a Christian. Not only when you're in church, when you're outside the church, you're a Christian. You know you're a real child of God, a covenant child of God. Not only when you are here on Sunday, but in the night, when church has closed and you are by all by yourself behind the closed door, behind the curtain, nobody sees you, but you see, there I am, a covenant keeping beneficiary. It will be so in Jesus' name. And it says that you do them, you thou shalt keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. We're looking at chapter 29, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 29, we're looking at verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant. That's a command. That's your part to play. It says, keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them, that ye may prosper. I'm talking to prosperous people. That ye may prosper in all that ye do. All that ye do. Now all around, you'll prosper. There, you'll prosper. In Jesus' name. Three things we're looking at. Number one here, in the stated conditions for covenant beneficiaries. Number two is the standing consciousness of covenanted believers. Number three is the steadfast commandment, the steadfast commitment to the covenant book. Number one, we're looking at the stated conditions for covenant beneficiaries. It tells us in Psalm 103, we're looking at verse 1. This is mine. I said, this is mine. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't grumble. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't complain. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't be angry. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And don't complain or murmur. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, as covenant beneficiaries, you mind your language. You bless the Lord. You mind your temper. You know, when somebody is, you know, angry and frustrated and all that, is not blessing the Lord. When you are crying and you are shedding, why should this happen to me? You are not blessing the Lord. Whatever is happening, the praise of God will wipe out every negative thing out of your life in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Benefits in your life. Benefits in the work of your hand. Benefits in your family. Benefits when you go out. Benefits when you're coming. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You accept that? There are people, every time they come to church on Sunday, since they confessed last week, or last month, or last year, God forgive me. And God is a faithful God. He says, He has forgiven. You know, they come to church again today and listen carefully to the prayer they are praying. God forgive me. God forgive me. Tap them. I thought you prayed this kind of prayer last month, last week. Did you commit a new sin? No, no. But you know, you can step on an ant you didn't see. That one is a sin. And you know, you can feel a way you didn't know. No, all that is religion. You are into righteousness, not religion. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Give me a good amen. Amen. And healeth. And healeth. And healeth. You know, it's a kind of pathetic, not funny, pathetic. If somebody goes to the hospital and checks up and they say, this one, they call it by a name and they say, it is now stage 3 or stage 4, that this one, no way of coming out. How many diseases does he heal? The one at stage 4, you are healed. Amen. Stage 3, you are healed. Amen. Because bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. I am healed. I am healed. The same healing coming from Calvary came to me, it has come to you. Amen. I am strong, you are strong. Amen. I am healthy, you are healthy. Amen. All the promises of God concerning healing, health, and wholeness, everything received, it is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. The stated conditions of covenant for covenant beneficiaries. Look at number 2 now. Number 2, we're looking at the standing consciousness of covenanted believers. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 5. The consciousness. Consciousness has conscience in it. You live with a good conscience. God allow you, permit you, and honor you with good conscience in Jesus' name. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 5, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Well, you know that Saul was an enemy of David. And Saul had been chasing after David. And David had been hiding here and hiding here. And all of a sudden, God delivered Saul into David's hand. He was asleep. And Abner, the bodyguard of Saul, also asleep. All the people, they were asleep. And David got there and somebody told David and said, the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hand. Oh, David said, never. I will not touch the anointed of the Lord. That's why the covenant of God was fulfilled in the lives of those people. They knew what to do. They knew what not to do. But he said, to show him that I was there and I could have killed him, but I didn't kill him. He cut off part of his robe. And when he had done that, he went afar. When he got a little bit far off, it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. If you read that whole chapter, you see that David confessed that. That's restitution. And he said, oh, my Lord the King, I'd been there. And to prove to you I was there, look at your skirt that I caught. But I feel condemned about that. My heart condemns me because you are king, you are the anointed of the Lord. So far, so good. David, that's good. But I need to show you something in 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 14. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 14. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. What kind of letter was that? David had committed sin with the wife of Uriah. He wanted to cover it up. He sent Uriah, come home from the battlefield. Uriah came and he said, go back home to your wife and, you know, release your tension, the tension in your body, in your life. He wanted to cover up so that as that sin with David became a pregnancy, then Uriah would think it was when I came home that time his wife was pregnant. But Uriah did not go home, and David made him drunk so he can still go home. The man did not go home, and David felt the sin will come out, and to hide the sin he wrote a letter and gave to Uriah himself. And Uriah was such a faithful man, he didn't open the letter, and he gave it to Joab. And Joab read the letter. David said, put him in the hottest part of the battle. And when the enemies are fighting, let all the other soldiers retreat. Leave him alone there so that he will die. The problem is, David, when you cut off the skirt of Saul, you felt it in your conscience. What kind of conscience do you have? You wrote a letter and you said they should execute, kill Uriah. You defiled his wife. You made his wife pregnant. Your heart did not caution you. And you wrote a letter, kill the man. And he killed the man. And Joab sent a messenger to David and said, well, the battle went in a negative way, but Uriah is dead. And once David said, that's all right, the battles go this way and they go that way, and since Uriah is dead, that's all I want. What kind of conscience is that? A little skirt, piece of cloth that you cut, you feel guilty, you confess, you make restitution. But this other one, that you put a letter in the hand of a man, is death warrant. And you give him to go and give the chief of the army, the captain, and he killed him, and his conscience did nothing to him. That's not Christian life. We must be conscious every time you do a little sin. God doesn't approve of that. Your conscience will challenge you, convict you. If you do any other sin, greater, higher, bigger than that, where is your conscience now? Let us have the consciousness of covenanted believers all the time. We're looking at number three here. Number three is the steadfast commitment to the covenant book. The steadfast commitment to the covenant book in Exodus chapter 24. We're looking at verse 7. Exodus 24, verse 7. And he took the book of the covenant. The book of the covenant. Hey, you must be conscious of that, that the Bible you hold in your hand is the book of the covenant through Jesus Christ. Ultimately, he makes you the one that has caught the better covenant, the higher covenant, the new covenant. And you hold that book in your hand. And it says he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. You must read the book of the covenant. That's where you know all the conditions that God has set. That's where you know all the, you know, the commandments and all the promises and privileges. And they said all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. When you read the book of the covenant, when you read the promises, the prophecies, and the precepts, all that the Lord had said, we will do. Look at Isaiah chapter 34. I'm reading from verse 16. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord, of the book of the Lord, seek it out and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate. That is, all the promise of God, they'll be changed together. None of them will fail. I said none of the promises will fail. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her maid, for my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. And we're looking now at point number 3. You are getting there. It's going to belong to you. And every prayer you pray this morning will be answered. And all every repentance that you make this morning, heaven will favor you. Amen. You turn away from sin, you turn away from evil, and you quit all iniquity, the favor, the forgiveness of the Lord will come unto you. Amen. And after that, any promise you claim, any provision you proclaim, everything comes to you today without exception. In Jesus' name, the covenant keeping believers in his thoughts. You know, there are people that say, nobody is thinking of me. God is thinking of you. Christ is thinking of you. And every good thought he has concerning you will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Look at Psalm 40. I'm reading from verse 5. Psalm 40. We're looking at verse 5. In Psalm 40, verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, they and thy thoughts which are towards what? Think about thy thoughts towards us. Thy thoughts towards us. The expectation of God in your life is sought toward you. The fulfillment of the covenant benefits and promises is sought toward you. And the great, great things is going to do as a result of your prayer, sincere prayer, scriptural prayer, and specific prayer you give unto him, you show him today, he will answer in Jesus' name. Because it speaks about thy thoughts which are towards what? They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Think about that. All that you think for yourself, God is already thinking of that. He is actually the one that put those good thoughts in your heart. The great expectation, the great passion, the great desire, all the thoughts of God. You need to mark this verse in your Bible. Please mark it in your Bible, and then remember, when you get back home, remember, God is thinking of you. God is thinking of me. That's how you say your own. In Psalm 92, I'm reading from verse 5. Psalm 92, verse 5, it says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Thy thoughts are very deep. The thoughts God is thinking of you. The expectation is going to bring up in your life. Thy thoughts are very deep. Look at three things here. Number one is the divine thoughts of God towards us. That means toward you in particular. I said the deep thoughts of God toward you in particular. Look at number two. Number two is the deliberate thoughts of God toward him. That is, the deliberate thoughts you are thinking of God to you towards him. Number three is the desirable thoughts by grace towards all. Towards all. I said towards all. Look at number one. Number one, the divine thoughts of God towards us. In Jeremiah chapter 29, reading from verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You know what? You need to study the Bible. Look at the Bible. He knows the thought is thinking toward you. And if you don't know the thought is thinking toward you, your own thought and his thought will not match, will not be the same. But he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. Peace in your heart. Peace in your family. Dear sister, you and your husband, there will be peace this year. Dear brother, you and your wife, there will be peace this year. Parents, you and your children, there will be peace this year. And you and the believers, there will be peace in Jesus' name. All the confusion, all the conflict, everything will pass away. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. No evil will knock at your door. No evil will come to the doorstep of your house in Jesus' name. And then it says, to give you. How do you personalize that? Say that. An expected end. I have that expected end in Jesus' name. Say it for yourself. It says to give you, and you know when God says he's going to give you something, Satan cannot come between you and God to say, no. Nobody can stop God. No circumstance can stop God. And there is no human being, there is no demon, there is no devil that can stop your blessing coming from God this year in Jesus' name. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. If you have never had a miracle by your own prayer, from today, miracle will come as a result of your prayer. Because it says, I will hearken unto you. In verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me. You will find God as the one who transforms life. You'll find God as the one who recreates our nature. You'll find God as the one who saves. You'll find God as the one who sanctifies. You'll find God as the one who envelops us and empowers us by the Holy Ghost. He shall seek me and find me. You'll find God as the provider. Every need of your life, he will provide. You'll find God as the deliverer. You're seeking the Lord. You say, I have that challenge, that challenge. He will deliver you. you, because he says when you seek him as deliverer, you'll find him as deliverer in Jesus' name. You'll find him as the way maker. He makes the way before you. All the roads that were blocked the previous years, and all the places that you they put a block there, they put no go area there, and you seek the Lord as the way maker this year, all those hurdles will be taken away in Jesus' name. Because it says, he shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with all your heart. Give me a good amen. My brother, I need to talk to you. This is just to help, not rebuke, nothing, you know. If every service will come, you have needs. You have some deep, deep needs, but at the time of prayer, you are looking here and looking there, and you are trying to, you know, do this and do that, and I'm asking, we don't have any other chance. We've heard the word, and God has given you some marvelous promises that when they are fulfilled, you'll be a wonder to everybody that looks at you. But if you don't have the time to pray, if you don't have the mind to pray, if you don't have the unction to pray, if you don't have the desire to pray, if you're not calling upon God, but you are looking into this and looking into that, for your own sake, my brother, for your own sake, my sister, let this time be the time when you know the thoughts of God concerning you, and you bring it to God, and God will answer you. You'll be a receiver of miracle, a receiver of transformation, and all those needs of your life that are piled up, and you wonder, am I going to get rid of this? Am I going to settle that? Today, God begins to settle everything in your life in Jesus' name. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 55, and I'm reading from verse 7. Isaiah 55, verse 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. That's what all of us were doing. If you know, how far you are from God, you know where God is. He is holy. If you are not holy, you are far from God. You know where God is. He is righteous. If you know your thoughts, your life, your character, you are not righteous, you are far away from God. You know where God is. God is good. If you know that you are not good, you are far away from God. You know God is honest and God is faithful. If you're not honest and faithful, you know how far you are from God. And so you will now do what he has said. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the righteous man forsake his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. Mercy today. The love of God for you today. Compassion for you today. In Jesus' name. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's the reason why when you hear the word of God, examine your own thoughts, align your thoughts with the thoughts of God. Because for the natural man, because for the depraved man, because for the normal person, the thoughts of man, they're different from the thoughts of God. Even for those who are saved, even for those who are born again, we still have that diminishing thought that cuts us down. We talk about ourselves as if, I cannot have this, I'm not there, I'm not there. Our thoughts are different. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. In verse 9 it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In verse 10, look at verse 10, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You'll eat and have enough this year. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Amen. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. If you look up here, can you see me? You know, rain is wanting to fall upon your house. And then you see one man dressed in the dress of whatever. And he's looking up and he's blowing with his mouth. And I say, man, what are you doing? He says, rain is to fall on that person's house, but I don't like him. So I'm blowing and saying, rain, go back, go back. Is that possible? This year, the word of God comes with rain. Amen. Upon your life. Amen. Upon your family. Amen. Don't bother anybody you see in the dream or you see during the day, and they are blowing, they are wasting their time. Amen. They're trying to blow back the rain of blessing upon your life. They cannot do it. Even Satan cannot do it. Demons cannot do it. Occultic men, occultic women cannot blow back the blessing of God upon your life. So shall my word be like the rain that cometh from heaven. It will come upon you, come upon your children, and come upon your family. And every part of your life, every part of your home will be experiencing the blessing of the word like rain this year in Jesus' name. Look at number two. Number two is the deliberate thoughts of the godly, towards him. The thoughts you have towards God. In Psalm 48, I'm reading from verse 9, it says, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God. That's the only thing to think about. Don't think about that person does not like me, that person is fine. Forget about that this year. They are men, they are just ordinary people. God is thinking of you. Think about God. Think about his loving kindness. Oh God, it says, in the midst of thy temple, as you come in the midst of the temple of God, in the midst of the worshiping people of God, you are thinking about God. My God is faithful. My God is loving. My God is mighty. My God, there's nothing my God will not do. Anything I ask today, God will do it. That's right. You are thinking about God every time in the temple. When you get back home, you're singing. I don't go in the bus, but you know, it was good old days. Somebody help me shout, good old days. You know, as the people are coming, they're singing praises to God, songs of faith and songs of grace and songs of the faithfulness of God. Let your singing return. Let your praises return. So that anywhere you are, as you know, you are all there and you're singing, they say, who are those people? They say, their new brand, Deep Alive. New brand. All their sorrows are gone. All their complaints are gone. All their problems are solved. Revival has come in their soul. And so everywhere you see them now, they sing the problems away. I say, not only that they pray their problems away, they sing their problems away. And you sing when it appears there's no way. Your singing will bring the way. When it appears Paul and Silas, give us a duet there. When you are all closed up and you begin to sing, all your prison doors will open. All the chains that bind you, everything will vanish away in Jesus' name. Look at number three here. Number three here, we're looking at the desirable thoughts by grace towards all. God is thinking about you, and you are thinking about God. Philippians chapter 4, we're reading from verse 6. In Philippians chapter 4, we're looking at verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be fretful for nothing. Be sorrowful for nothing. But in everything, remember that, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. With joy, you make your request to God. You're not like a born slave. You're a child of God, you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, and you come before the Heavenly Father with joy and with thanksgiving and joy, happiness. You make your request known unto God. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then look at verse 8. In verse 8, finally, brethren, what things soever are true, that's what you think about. If they tell you a lie, God will help you. You'll not believe a lie in Jesus' name. You know, many people today, they don't restrict one day, April Fool, April 1. Now, they tell lies every day. And they come to tell you something that will sadden you, that will make you sorrowful, make you feel dejected, make you feel, I prayed. Now, as God answered my prayer, I say, God has answered your prayer. But you know, I don't have time to read that to you now, but it says, those who do not love the truth, they will believe a lie. God will send the delusion that they believe a lie. And you know, people can act out lie just to ruffle you and to make you unhappy. And it says, if you do not have total immersion into God, you'll believe a lie. And the lie you believe, you will perpetrate. And it will make things go down and down in your life. This year, you'll not believe a lie. Yeah. The devil is a liar. Whatever the devil tells you, that's a lie. I will not believe the lie of the devil. You know, a lie can come through the dream. You know, they say, if you see a dead man, a dead woman in the dream, they say, this is what it means. That's a lie. Somebody shout, that's a lie. Already I've seen the promise of God, and that is the truth. That's what I'm thinking about. Already I've seen the provision of Christ at Calvary. That's the truth. That's what I believe. I've seen the pronouncement of Jesus Christ that he pronounced, and he said, it is finished. All your troubles are finished. That is what to think about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, it says, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Can you say that with me? Think on these things. And if you can write down Proverbs 23 verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think of something true all the time, true promises of God will be fulfilled in your life. If you think of something honest, something great, something virtuous, something coming from the Lord, as a man thinketh, so is he. And this year, you will not think of evil. And evil will not come near your dwelling in Jesus' name. Now, we're going to have double prayer this morning. If you say good amen, I will tell you. The first part of the prayer, you will pray and one of our ministers will lead us. And you pray your life, your heart out. You pour out your heart. That's prayer. You pour out your heart unto the Lord. But I'm still here. When you have poured out your heart, everything you want unto the Lord, I then will come to stamp it. Because I will not leave the service this morning until all that you pour out from your heart, everything has a stamp of heaven. But you will open your mouth, your heart, your being unto God, and you pray and pray and pray, and heaven will hear your prayer. And then by the anointing that the Lord has given and the approval that God has given, the calling God has given. You know, don't go anywhere at this time now, because I'm going to bring the final stamp and say, so it is. In your life, so it is. In your family, so it is. Impossible will become possible in your life. Where are you? Stand up now. Double praying this morning. Now, get started. I'm still here and we're going to do it together. Open your mouth. Talk to the Lord in prayer. This is going to be a wonderful day of performance, manifestation, demonstration, fulfillment in your life.
Lift up your soul, lift up your heart. The heavens are opened unto the church this morning. Enter into the presence of the Almighty God with this mindset that every prayer you pray this morning will be answered. Come to the Lord this morning with that mindset. Every prayer I pray this morning in the presence of God will be answered. That there is nobody on earth, nobody in the sky, nobody in the sea that can stop God from getting to you this morning. Today is a covenant day between you and the Almighty God. This is the day the Lord has made to meet you at the point of your need. Brothers and sisters, youths, everybody, lift up your voice to the God of heaven and begin to worship him, because he is the covenant-keeping God. He is the covenant-keeping God. He is the covenant-keeping God. He has never failed in keeping to his word. What he said is what he's going to do. And today, it's going to manifest. Lift up that voice and say, Father, I thank you. He is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of a man that he should repent, that he should change. Has he said, and will he not do it? Lift up your voice. God is listening to your prayer. God is listening to your prayer. God is listening to your prayer. Lift it up. Lift it up. Enough is enough. We have suffered enough. We have suffered enough. The hour of change, the moment for things to turn around has come. You have suffered enough. Sickness upon sickness, enough is enough. Pour out your soul. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your heart. Hold to the horns of the altar. Hold the Father and tell him, Lord, I am here. You cannot pass me by. You cannot pass me by. I am here in your presence. I am here in your presence. While on others you are touching. While on others you are blessing. Papa, this is me. Jehovah, this is me. This is me. I am here. I suffered last year. I have started a new year. I cannot suffer the same suffering. I cannot go through the same road of suffer that I suffered last year. Doctors say it is stage 1, it is stage 2, it is stage 3, it is stage 4. The doctor does not have the final say in my life. The doctor does not have the final say in my health. God of heaven, I call upon your name. I call upon your name. I call upon your name. Arise from you, O God. Arise from you, O God. Sister, call upon the name of God. Tell him to rise up for you. My brother, call on God. Tell him to rise up for you. The time has come. He is a covenant keeper. He is a covenant keeper. He never breaks his word. What God says must be done. Everything God says will happen to you this year. It will surely happen to you. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. The presence of the Lord is in our midst. God is in our midst. God is in our midst. Call upon him right now. Father, I am here. I am here. This is me, Lord. This is me, Lord. This is me, Lord. I am here. Remember me this day. Remember me this day. I want to receive the full covenant kindness. I want to receive your full covenant kindness. Show it unto me today. Brothers and sisters, open your mouth and tell the Lord, dry up my tears. Father, dry up my tears. Please open your mouth and tell God, dry up my tears. Father, see my tears. I cry in the night. I cry in the day. I cry every time. Father, dry up my tears. I've been shedding tears. I've been looking for a helper. And you have assured me today that my help has come. Lord, dry up my tears. Jehovah, dry up my tears. Don't allow me to go back weeping. I cannot leave church this morning weeping. I cannot leave church this morning crying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. My brother, pray. My sister, pray. God is by your side. Your answer is there. Call upon him. No worry, no anxiety. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I have suffered enough. I refuse to suffer. I refuse to continue suffering. The end to my problems have come. The end to my sorrow has come. Every sin that the Bible declares about me, I have faith it will come to pass. I have faith it will come to pass. I have faith it will come to pass. Students, believe God. Your admission is settled. How will I go through higher institution? Who will sponsor me? The provision has come. The Lord is sending you to school. The Lord is going to sponsor your education. Call upon God right now. Students, lift up your voice to God. Lift up your voice to God. Call upon him. Don't let him go. I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Sisters, women, call upon God. call upon God. You have suffered enough. You have suffered enough. The visitation of God has come. The visitation of God has come. Father, here am I. Let God hear your voice. Let God hear your voice. Don't allow any person to silence you. Let God hear your voice. Father, here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Jesus, don't pass me by. Jesus, don't pass me by. Jesus, don't pass me by. Make me a peculiar person. 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 Fathers who are here, brothers who are here, tell the Almighty God, make me a peculiar person. If you don't pray now, when are you going to pray? If you don't call upon God now, when are you going to call upon God? Lord, here am I, a peculiar person. A peculiar person. A peculiar person. That is what you want to make me. And I am asking you right now, make me a peculiar person. I will not struggle to live a righteous life. I will not struggle to live a victorious life. I will not struggle to live a favored life. Here am I, O God. Remember me this morning. Bless me, O God. Bless me, O God. Except you bless me, I will not let you go. Except you bless me, I will not let you go. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't shut your mouth up. Don't close your mouth up. Speak to your Father. He's listening to your prayer. He's listening to your prayer. He's listening to your prayer. Speak unto him right now. It is finished. Jesus said it is finished. Jesus said it is finished. Tell the Lord right now. That challenge is finished in my life. That problem is finished in my life. Remember, you know, the former things, the promise of God. Behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. With long life will I satisfy him. Talk to the Lord right now. Satisfy me, O God, with that long life that you have promised me. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church of God say amen. We are going to reverse the pronouncement of medical science. We are reversing the pronouncement of medical science. Did they say this sickness is stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4? This morning it will crumble. What the doctors have told you will not stand. Because the word that God sent, he said it will not come back empty. But that the words will fulfill the purpose he sent that word. Open your mouth right now. Any negative news I have had, I begin to reverse those negative news. I begin to reverse those negative news. I begin to reverse those negative news. Negative information. Your sickness is incurable. Negative information. Reverse. Reverse. By the promise God has given you this morning. By the word of promise God has given you this morning. Who healed all thy diseases? Who healed all thy diseases? Who healed all thy diseases? Reverse. What man has said, reverse it right now. What man has said, reverse it right now. Reverse it right now. Doctors don't have the final say in your life. They don't have the final say in your life. Reverse. Reverse the words of medical science. Oh Lord, here I come. I stand on the promise of heaven. I am whole. I am healed. I am strong. My husband is well. My wife is well. My children are well. We are healthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church of God say a conquering amen. Every incantation made in the secret against you. Rain wants to fall. And somebody said he wants to stop your rain from falling. Is it possible? Everybody shout impossible. Every secret incantation against your life, fire will consume them. I say fire will consume them. Open your mouth and begin to destroy. whoever is making incantation secretly against my life, that 2026 will not be my year. Whoever in their secret covert, in their secret hideout, that 2026, I will still suffer. That 2026, I will still cry. I will still be a man of sorrow, a woman of sorrow, a family of sorrow, a business of sorrow. My God and my Father, let fire consume their words. Let fire consume their words. Let fire consume their words. Let fire destroy their incantation. Let fire destroy their incantation. Wherever they are making their incantation, wherever they are taking up the words in their mouths, fire destroy. Destroy. The Lord will arise for me. I will not believe the lie of the devil. You will not believe the lie of the devil. Lord, destroy their works. I am seeking God. I will find him. This year, I am going to find him. Because God is thinking about me. The Lord is thinking about you. The Lord is thinking about you. The Lord is thinking about you. Brothers and sisters, pray. Open heaven. Command open heaven unto yourself right now. Open heaven. Open heaven. Tell the Lord, let the rain fall. 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 The rain of my blessing fall on me. The rain of my blessing fall on my family. The rain of my blessing fall on my business. The rain of my blessing fall upon my church, my local church. The rain of the God's blessing. Declare this morning, open heaven. Let God open your eyes to see the heavens open. Lord, open the heavens. Jehovah, open the heavens. Papa, open the heaven. Tell God, let the rain begin to descend. Let the rain begin to descend. Let the rain begin to descend. Gallery 1, let it fall. Gallery 2, let it fall. Gallery 3, let it fall. In the open space, let it fall. Let it fall. The rain, the rain, the rain, the rain, the rain.
Amen. It is done. Your prayers are answered. From this very moment, you will see it in your life. Miracle, healing, deliverance, dominion, provision. Impossibilities are now possible. Raise up that hand. You've got it already. This is just a confirmation. It's time of assurance. Father, we thank you. We know that this is a special covenant worship Sunday service. And all that your people have asked you, one by one, in every family here and in all the locations everywhere, all the churches everywhere in the nation, in the continent of Africa, outside Africa, everywhere, we know you have answered their prayer. I pray, Lord, for those who have sought you for total, complete forgiveness, salvation, well, thank you. It is done in Jesus' name. For those who have asked for healing, healing from any kind of disease, whatever the name, whatever the stage, and whatever they have been told by medical people or by other people, all those negative pronouncements, they are reversed in Jesus' name. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Demonic attack, demonic affliction, and all those satanic subjugations, Lord, we cancel them in Jesus' name. Lord, you are manifested to destroy all the works of the devil. Right now, in every life, right now, on everyone, all the works of the devil, they are destroyed in Jesus' name. Occultic powers are canceled from every life. Satanic power canceled from every life. Any curse pronounced against any life, right now, that curse is reversed in Jesus' name. The work of your hand is blessed. Business, profession, blessed in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for young people going to do exam. Maybe they've done it before, it wasn't successful. The next one, this year, you succeed in Jesus' name. Provision for the exam, supply, O God. And provision to study, higher education, provide in Jesus' name. And all those who are applying for scholarship, Lord, is granted in heaven, is confirmed on earth in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that those who are doing trading, marketing, and all that expand their coast this year in Jesus' name. Every blessing they have claimed, every promise they have claimed, everyone here, everyone everywhere, confirm in their lives in Jesus' name. And the spiritual blessing of circumcision of heart, so that we love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, confirm in every life in Jesus' name. And the power of the Holy Ghost, let it envelope your people. The power of the Holy Ghost, let it saturate every life in Jesus' name. As we go out of the service, we go with assurance. We go with blessing. They turn to the right, blessing. To the left, blessing. Marching forward, blessing. And as they open the door and enter into their home, things are different now. Lord, I pray there will be confirmation, manifestation, demonstration in every life. Thank you, Lord. It is done. It is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody, everybody now, surely, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This year, every day blessing. Amen. Every week blessing. Amen. Every month a new blessing. Amen. And throughout the year, blessing upon blessing upon Amen. Blessing. It is done. Amen. Amen.